Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Super Talk Mississippi and SixPacksBeat.com proudly present, this is your godfather, this is your general, this is our show. This is Super Talk Mississippi, this is our show. Brian Haydad and the godfather, Stephen Agustinelli here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Stephen, if Brupolo was in Clarksdale.
Hello, Brian. Wait, I got the line wrong. That would be weird. I'm sorry.
That would be weird, yeah.
There you got go. It wrong.
We'll get it going here. Remember, when you support Strange Brew Coffee House, you're supporting a Bulldog Initiative business. Go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Have it shipped right to your door. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise, and in some cases, the purple and gold merchandise that you may be looking for. Two locations in the Jackson area to serve you. They're in Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can always shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Whatever it is you're looking for, Mississippi State, they've got it at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. For lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. They have the best blue plate in the city of Starkville and maybe in the state of Mississippi. It's great. A lot of great choices. Great vegetable choices, too, which I know Stephen is a big fan of. He has to get his veggies on a daily basis.
Cauliflower.
I think they have it. I think they have cauliflower. Good. So Stephen can get that and be happy. And you will be, too, when you eat lunch at Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi. Ready to serve. I see you getting upset up there, Marty. Just calm down. I got bills to pay. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central. I'm sorry, John. I got to advertise another bank here. I'm very sorry. They're here to serve you. Banking locally, it's just an important thing to do, just like shopping locally and eating locally. If you live in Central Mississippi, there's a Priority One Bank near you. Go to PriorityOneBank.com to find that location nearest you. Priority One Bank, let them make you their priority. Stephen, glad to have you back on. This is a monumental podcast because who knows when the next one will be.
That's correct.
The end for the time being of the Mississippi State LSU series. I know our two Tigers are incredibly sad about that. They're going to say it's because they're losing a gimme win. Let's go ahead. He's nodding his head. Let's go ahead and get him introduced. You should know them if you're a longtime listener to the podcast. We'll start with Age Before Beauty and Marty Agustinelli out there in the great Pacific Northwest. Marty, welcome to the podcast.
Glad to be here. You know, I just finished my darkness retreat, so I've got a new, outlook on life. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers went into his retreat. He took his darkness retreat here in Oregon.
Yeah, I think every day in Oregon's probably a little bit of a darkness retreat.
Yeah, in the winter, but yeah. But this one, they turn out the lights completely. You know,
I don't want any part of that.
It is deprivation, sensory deprivation. But all right. Yeah.
Marty's going to say about four words and Tara's tears Achilles.
That's all right.
You beat me to it,
if Marty tears his Achilles sitting in that chair, we're going to have some issues.
Right. Hey, we are natural athletes, Brian. Don't you forget it.
It's a true story. Down there in Jackson, Mississippi, representing the Mississippi State Bulldogs, John Agustinelli is here. John, good to talk to you again, cuz.
Cuz, man, nice talking to you. We'll see what, the algorithms, lay out for us to, during this podcast and, how different people's leanings may come out in discussion as they have shared on our group messages.
Yes, we will find out about that.
Yes.
And then Before I introduce this next person, I like to make a disclaimer that if you have any music you want to play, just don't. It never works. Nobody can hear the song. Let's just say your name and you say a little something and we'll all be happy. The Italian Stallion, my beloved cousin, Chris Agostinelli.
I'll just make a chant.
Okay.
ACC. ACC. The new power conference. Can we pick ACC games today?
We cannot.
Real power conference.
We are not going to do that. And you're not, nor are you allowed to start becoming a Clemson fan and saying that's the real Death Valley. You're not allowed to
ban. Well, you know, I would say that, but they lost to Duke.
That's true. They did lose to Duke. Great to be back with you guys. I love doing this podcast each and every year. I'm really going to miss it next year. I don't know what we're going to do. We could just do one for Texas, but then, Chris, you're not included.
Well, I'm worried about your career next year without having this show to lean on.
The ratings draw. It's bananas.
I mean,
Brian, you could do Texas. It'd be four against one. That would make it almost even.
Yeah, it would. We would bring Thomas in on that one to replace Chris, and we could just, you know, go from there. And maybe you have a Texas friend. I don't know. We'll figure something out. We got a year to think about that.
Hopefully not Chris's neighbor. No offense. Yeah,
I loathe Texas. I'm happy to join in on that call.
We'd have Chris on our side. It'd be a real change.
Yeah, I will be a maroon and white fan through and through.
All right, let's talk about this game, Mississippi State LSU. You know, a year ago, LSU was 1-1 coming into this game, and it felt like it was a really must-win game for LSU, which is weird, right? Mississippi State being a must-win game for LSU, but that was the way it felt a year ago. Marty, how does it feel this year with LSU at 1-1? Does it feel different, or is this like, okay, they got to start getting off the schneid starting this week?
Well, it feels must win because, again, they lost the first game of the year, which sort of deflated the balloon a good bit. I mean, they had some, you know, championship aspirations that sort of got, you know, sort of deflated really quickly. So, you know, this is, I mean, they played Grambling last week, which is a team they should beat, you know, soundly, and they did. Mm-hmm. But this will be the first opponent, you know, since the Florida State game, where, you know, they really need to show that they're, you know, they made improvements and they need to show some progress, especially on defense. So their pass defense is not terribly good this year.
And Chris, that is something that surprises the hell out of me. I've been talking to a couple of people today. I've done some interviews and they've talked about the LSU secondary. This is DBU. This is LSU, and they're talking about how weak this LSU secondary is. What's going on in the defensive backfield for the Tigers?
Well, we're living and dying by the transfer portal. So Brian Kelly has kind of warned us about it. I was a little nervous about our secondary coming into the season. You know, we had a lot of hype, but, you know, when you got that many new faces in the backfield and you don't know anything about them coming into the program, you get a little concerned. And we were exposed by Florida State, which I think was their strength, was their wide receivers. And they took it to us in the second half for sure. You know, we could talk a little bit about that game because, you know, I had to go back and really watch the first half again. I didn't really get to watch it live. And we left, you know, we could have been up by 17 theoretically at halftime, and we didn't take advantage of our opportunities. And I don't know what happened in the second half. We got out-coached and outplayed and exposed really badly in the defensive side of the ball, not just on the secondary side, but, you know, we have no pass rush right now. So we've got to reestablish that. Having, you know, Mason Taylor back was supposed to give us a little bit, but he's a little nicked up. So, you know, he may not even be 100% this weekend too. So in order to make a secondary better, you got to have the pass rush, and, you know, unleashing Harold Perkins may help with that, but we'll see.
Mason Smith.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I said Mason Taylor. Okay. I'm sorry. Mason Smith. My fault. But he's not totally game ready. So we'll see how he's going to do this weekend.
What's interesting, John, is you hear them talk about this, right? Oh, we're having trouble with the pass rush and our secondary is weak. A year ago, this would have been great news for Mississippi State running the air raid offense. But after what we saw last weekend against Arizona, do we trust Mississippi State to be able to pass the ball and be able to attack this this Tiger defense?
Well, I think so. I mean, Arnett has already come out and said that he wasn't as aggressive in certain parts of the game against Arizona. But the only thing that worries me is the old adage goes is the biggest improvement for a team is between the first and second game. Wasn't that much improvement if you want to say it might have slid back a little bit. So hopefully, you know, they'll be a little bit more aggressive with the play calling. We do have some weapons with Xavion on who can play slot or on the outside, which I feel like he's going to be playing more on the outside to have both he and Tulu on the field at the same time. And I don't know. I haven't heard anything about Creed, so I don't know whether he's going to be on the field at all. Because against Southeast Louisiana, but he showed some good speed, mm-hmm. And taking some long plays. So I think we could press him a little bit.
I just think with Creed, Tulu was hurt in the Southeast Louisiana game. He missed most of the first half. Xavion was hurt, didn't play the whole game. They play in front of Creed, so it's going to be difficult for him to get reps. But at the same time, like you said, John, he showed you some playmaking ability. You got to find a way to get him on the field a little bit. Steven, what was to you last week? We talk about Arnett and what he said in the press conference. We talk about what John was just saying with Barbe and trying to change up what they did offensively. But I know we're playing LSU. We have to make this pun, though, that Tiger doesn't normally change its stripes. Is Arnett going to – do you believe that? Do you think that Mississippi State is just going to look completely different offensively here in week three?
No, and the thing that I struggled with the most from last game is that we got away from what I thought was successful in the first game. And, again, it was a different opponent, maybe a little bit tougher, but, using Mike Wright, and I was disappointed in the first game. He didn't even show – he did not make one attempted pass. Mm-hmm. But he ran the ball successfully. And then we didn't even use him in the second game to be able to run the ball. So I don't know, maybe they just didn't want it on film or what. But for the things that made us successful offensively, we didn't do those things, I think, against Arizona. But then again, when Arnett said we were going to play conservatively, I'd rather go ahead and get up 28-0 and then worry about playing conservatively. Yeah, and I'm glad that he came out and said, hey, I made a mistake. So hopefully he will adjust. He's a young coach. He's 37. So, those are things that he's learning on the job.
He's younger than
that's
everybody.
That's a good strategy, Steven.
Get
up 28-0. That's a real good strategy against LSU. And then let the gas pedal off. I like that strategy.
I hope we get to entertain that on Saturday.
It kind of worked in 2014. It kind of worked then. We let off the gas pedal and it was okay.
Man, once out of 25 years is okay.
You're in my head, Brian, because I think I actually remember Dan Mullen after that game in 2014 said I learned something as a relatively, even though he'd been on the job a couple of more years than Arnett has been now. Mm-hmm. Mullen made a comment similar to say, I've learned not to take my foot off the gas or, put my foot on the throat and finish the game.
Yeah.
Because LSU scored, almost 20 points that last quarter and made it close.
Made it interesting. So, and it didn't need to be. And then, and you're right. And Mullen did say that. So we'll see if Arnett learns that same lesson.
Was that the game they had the pass at the end of the game into the end zone?
Yeah.
Yes.
And if they caught the ball, you would have lost.
That I promise you, the three, MSU fans in this group were just looking at the TV like, oh, dear God, no. Yeah, we were all sitting together. We were all at Steven's house watching that game. Marty, offensively for this LSU team, the thing that stands out the most for me is, this is LSU. They have had first-round picks at running back and at receiver, for decades. This team, outside of Neighbors, where are the superstars for LSU? Where are the guys that you can just – give them the ball, and you're afraid every time they touch the ball that they're going to score a touchdown.
Well, I mean, I guess the first superstar is Jaden Daniels, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he is sort of the running game when they let him do it. I mean, they sort of, I think they've been trying to keep him more in the pocket, but he is clearly the best running threat that we have. Receivers are right, Neighbors, but I would also include Brian Thomas too. He's actually very good as well. They really don't have a solid third receiver yet. So they tried Kyron Lacy. He had a couple of drops in the Florida State game. The Grambling game, he played better, but they also tried out Chris Hilton, who got a touchdown reception. So, but they do have some talent. Running back, I think they have like 8 running backs.
Yeah.
But none of them are, I would argue, Leonard Fournette quality. I mean, they're just sort of, good running backs. The problem for LSU running the ball is the offensive line. So the interior offensive line has got some problems right now. They're experimenting, from what I understand, and they did this against Grambling, moving Emory Jones, who's the right tackle, down to guard, mm-hmm. and then playing Lance Hurd. And Lance Hurd's a 5-star offensive tackle that LSU
Remember him,
recruited
yeah.
last year. Yeah. And so that evidently worked pretty well in the running game. They were, I mean, it was scrambling, but they were running the ball really well. The only problem there is Lance Hurd, you know, his pass protection still needs some work. So, and he is playing tackle. So he does need to deal with, you know, edge rushers. But again, if they can improve their interior line a little bit, I think their running game will be better. The biggest problem I have with LSU right now is they're not necessarily explosive.
Yeah.
So they get a lot of, you might call dink and dunk type of yardage, you know, and you know, Jaden Daniels is criticized a lot about not really looking to throw it downfield and pushing it downfield.
Are you talking about Jaden Daniels or Will Rogers?
I know. Yeah. It's the same thing. But, you know, again, if he, you know, he's being coached to try to take chances and to throw it downfield. I think he's a little bit risk averse, so he doesn't like throwing interceptions, but that's probably where they need to improve.
And Chris, you know, you mentioned Mason Taylor a second ago. I think he could be a big player for LSU in this game because I think, you know, State's linebackers, I know they had three interceptions last week, but Mason Taylor is a matchup problem for those guys. And if you're going to be conservative in the passing game, like Marty's saying there, you know, looking to the tight end is never a bad idea. Mason Taylor is an outstanding tight end.
I totally agree. He could be a game changer for us. And I disagree with Marty a little bit on Lacy. I think Lacy is a type of receiver that can get it going. He's the prototype receiver for LSU. He has had a couple of drops, but we are getting John Emery back at running back too. So that could be, unless he finds a way to miss another LSU game. He's done that quite a bit.
Very possible.
In his college career. So I kind of disagree with Maury a little bit on a couple of things he said there, but Mason Taylor is certainly a factor, and Brian Kelly likes the tight end. So we'll see if he plays a role in this game against Mississippi State. I don't like the fact that it's 11 a.m. I'm not a fan of this game starting at 11 a.m. on the road, though. That is a little bit concerning for me.
Chris, Brian Kelly likes the tight end.
Yes, he does like the tight end.
Is that the algorithm?
That's the algorithm we're talking
about. Make sure.
So that's an interesting point, though. And, John, I think I disagree with Chris. I think if you're a road team, you want to come out and play at 11 a.m. because the crowd is usually just not as into it as they would be after a full day of tailgating and a full day of being outside. You know, 6 o'clock p.m., that would be a much more rowdy crowd. You know, the crowd, the attendance has been an issue for Mississippi State these first couple of weeks. What do you think is going to happen this week? How many people do you think will be in the stadium?
Well, I don't know. Brian, I don't know exactly how many people are going to be in the stadium, but I think it's going to be more than it were at Arizona. I mean, it's the first SEC ball game for this team. I do believe – I don't know if they're going to have it packed. Again, that 11 o'clock kickoff has never been – good for Mississippi State.
That A&M maybe that game Auburn? In 14 is the only one that I remember being really packed out.
Was it A&M or Auburn? Was Auburn the CBS game that
year? Auburn was
that
CBS
year?
That year, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember. I knew it was a day game, but I couldn't remember if it was 11 or not. Yeah. I knew that was a big game. You know, cowbells amplify, attendance by 3 mm-hmm. or 4.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even though we might have 55 in there, it's still going to be loud, and there's going to be a raucous crowd. But it also depends on the play of the team.
Yeah,
you know, if the team that comes out in the first quarter versus Arizona plays all 4 quarters, it's going to be hopping.
Yeah,
but if they come out, you know, like they did the remainder of the game, it's going to be, you know, a little subdued in the stadium.
Yeah, Stephen, that's my concern in this game is that I feel like if State comes out and plays well, they can be in this game until the end. But if they play the way they played against Arizona, this is going to be a Marty Agostinelli 45-3 special.
This has kind of got to me a 2009 feel. You know, same kind of setup, first year coach. Mm-hmm. What was LSU's record in 2009? They weren't
good that year. They finished like 8-5.
And I thought, you know, going into the State game last year, I thought LSU wasn't that special. And then they kind of had a, you know, towards the middle of the year.
LSU last year is such an enigma, right? They went 9-4 with not a great season, but they won the West and they beat Alabama. So it's just an odd season.
Beating Alabama makes it a great season.
There you go. I can agree with that, though. I can agree with that.
So I just got a feeling, you know, that was an 11 o'clock game in 2009, you know, and we lost on that last second play. So hopefully State can kind of, you know, rekindle or you know, repeat that performance that occurred in 2009. Mm-hmm. A new coach, just, you know, you were talking about the crowd. Crowd's been disappointing the past, you know, the first 2 weeks of the season. Mm-hmm. That east side is rather sparse.
It is. They need you to sit over there. It'll make it look
that's more right. The lower bowl is it's kind of empty. But, you know, hopefully the crowd comes out. And the Arnett and the players today, you know, were clamoring for the fans to come. Yeah. So that they talked about the juice that they receive from our crowd. So hopefully that gets fulfilled.
We shall
see. Godfather's pleading for fans. Come on out.
Let's go.
Pull the strings, Godfather. Make Please. It happen.
But, you know, Brian, on the 11 a.m. thing, LSU never plays well at 11 a.m.
That's true. They're not used to it.
Home or road. They don't like it. And so I'm worried about us being lethargic as playing that early always. See,
I would go the full Monty on LSU. Not only would I make them play at 11 a.m., if I'm State, I would have done the whiteout this weekend and made LSU wear purple. I would have tried to jinx as much as I possibly could. But,
and you need to keep the fans from the sidelines, the air conditioning fans, and the Gatorade. Yeah.
Electricity doesn't work. Gatorade spiked with rum. It's just all bad.
Do what the University of Texas did against LSU in 19. They took all the air conditioning out and made them have cramps in the locker room. And
didn't work.
We still beat them.
Didn't work.
We still beat them.
Yeah, we had Joe Burrow. It was a little easier.
Yeah, we had Joe Burrow. That helped.
Yeah. All right, let's do this the way we do our normal Friday podcast. And I don't think we've done this before, but we're going to do it this year. We do the three P's on Friday, our preview, we give playmakers, and then we'll make our predictions. So let's do that right now. Let's give an offensive and a defensive playmaker. We'll start with Marty. Give us your offensive guy, and then we'll go around the room and come back to you.
Offensive playmaker, it had to be Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
I mean, he touches the ball every play, right? But he's the one that's got to have a good game. And, you know, like I said, DeLora last week had, 350 yards of passing? I mean, if he can throw for 350, Jaden Daniels might have a pretty good day. The other thing I think they need to get him to run a little more. Mm-hmm. I think it opens things up a bit.
That's what won the game for LSU last year, was his legs.
Yeah, and he hasn't been running that much this year so far, so I don't know.
John, I know you're – I'll just go ahead and get ahead. I'm sure you're predicting a Bulldog victory, but who's your offensive playmaker in this game for Mississippi State?
You know, just on the other side, the counterpart, Jaden Daniels, Will Rogers. Mm-hmm. I mean, Will's got, you know, Will and Barbet have something to prove this week, you know, that Mississippi State offense hasn't just gone to the ground and pound back to the 1980s running attack. I think some explosive plays with the playmakers that we talked about earlier on the State side, it will be huge for Mississippi State success. I think we'll have a little bit of running success against LSU. I think Woody's running the ball hard, and we do have some change of pace with the guys that back him up. But Will throwing the ball downfield, threatening to go over the top, and then working that underneath routes. That is huge. We have got to keep moving the chains to keep LSU off the field.
Chris, who do you got
on offense or defense?
Let's go on offense. Yeah.
Well, Marty's, I mean, obviously, right. Jaden Daniels has got to be on, but I'll throw another player out. I really hope that John Emery comes in and lights it up on the running game, because I think we've been kind of trying to figure that out. And, you know, he's the guy with the experience and the speed. And, you know, he's been under delivering his career at LSU with high expectations. It's time for him to step up, because I think we'll make plays in the air. With our wide receivers, I think we have a lot of advantage there. But if we don't get that running game going, it can make for an interesting afternoon.
Okay. Steven, what do you say?
Collective group, I'll just go with the offensive line. I mean, I just think that if they have a shot, if a State has a shot, it's that Will Rogers does have some time to sit in the pocket and hopefully, you know, get our passing game going. And then, you know, if we can have – I'm speaking out of generalities that are obvious, but if we can have success running the ball, you know, like we did the first 2 weeks, I mean, our running game has been impressive, especially those first few drives against Arizona. We were just completely annihilating them.
Yeah.
And you know, Arizona had a very small defensive front from what I, from what I could tell. LSU maybe is not the same, but if the offensive line can come out and dominate, you know, in the passing and running game, you know, that's a good sign for Mississippi State, and hopefully get a victory.
I'm kind of torn. I feel like Woody Marks is the engine right now for Mississippi State. He's the guy who's making things happen. But I agree with John about Will Rogers. I feel like Mississippi State's best chance in this game is to try to come out and do things the opposite of what they've done the first couple of games. They started to run to set up the pass. I think you need to test that LSU secondary early in this one, because as the game wears on, LSU becomes more aggressive. That's what they did a year ago. In the first, you know, first half, Will Rogers had time to throw sometimes. In the second half, LSU was merciless with the blitzing. So Rogers needs to get out to a good start, and that'll allow Woody Marks down the road to have some running lane. So Will Rogers will be my offensive playmaker. We'll go counterclockwise here. Steven, come back to you. Who's your defensive playmaker?
I think it's going along the line again. It's the defensive line. So I'll go with Jaden Crumity. Okay. If he can have a game where he doesn't necessarily have to fill up the stat sheet, but if he can do other things that allow others to fill up the stat sheet, that's where we have a chance to have a W. It's the linebackers, to me, you know, Bookie and Jet Johnson, they come every weekend. So it's really like somebody else stepping up. And Jaden Crumity, he hadn't had like a big stat weekend. And again, he doesn't have to have it. But I think he can provide enough where it can allow some others to make some plays.
All right. Chris, defensively, who do you like for the Tigers?
It's time for Mr. Perkins to step up. I mean, you know, the good news is Will Rogers is not a mobile quarterback.
No.
And if you guys want to throw the ball deep, that's just an extra couple seconds for Harold Perkins to get back there and create havoc. So I really hope that's the game plan for y'all to throw it deep. Versus the dink and dunk, because that's how you neutralize a guy like Harold Perkins from getting to the quarterback. He's got to step up. He was absent against Florida State because, I mean, according to the experts, he was not playing in the right position, playing that middle linebacker position. And Brian Kelly has been very vocal about unleashing him and let him do Harold Perkins kind of thing. So if that's true, then State should be very scared of that. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right, John, what do you think?
Well, yeah, I was listening to Steven, but, you know, he's saying the linebackers bring it every week. But if I remember last year's game, I thought we had Jet shadowing Daniels.
Which was a
and
mistake.
It was a mistake, so why not use the other linebacker? Mm-hmm. You know, so I think it's Vuki.
If I was going to shadow Daniels, mm-hmm. I would put Sean Preston in him. I don't think.
Yeah,
up there, yeah.
And Preston likes to bring the thunder.
Or a young guy like John Lewis, who we know is the most athletic and quickest linebacker. I mean, you can't put Jet Johnson out there. That's a huge mistake in favor of that.
I don't think Watson can shadow him.
I don't know
either.
That he can either. Yeah, I agree. But we'll
you
see.
Don't think so?
There's so much speed than Jet. He's quicker than Jet, but he's not quicker than Jaden Daniels is the issue.
Right.
That's some real speed out there.
But I think of that. You know, there's solid. He's a solid linebacker, a leader on defense, and so forth. That's the guy I'd go with and just say, hey, you know, if it's not him shadowing Daniels, then, you know, the play, you know, in his normal role is going to be huge for State.
Yeah. Marty, who do you like for the Tigers defensively?
I was going to say Harold Perkins, but I'm going to go another direction. Okay. I would say Denver Harris.
Okay.
Denver Harris is a 5-star cornerback. That, you know, LSU recruited him very hard. He went to A&M, obviously transferred out of A&M. He has some issues, off the field issues. He played last week for the first time. Mm-hmm. He didn't play terribly well, but he needs to have a breakout game. He mm-hmm. needs to be, we need at least one of our cornerbacks to be sort of a lockdown corner. And he's really the guy that LSU thought would be that person. And so
Starting, Marty?
I think he started the Grambling game.
He started the Grambling game.
Yeah, and that of course they scored a touchdown over him. He had good coverage. The problem with the LSU's quarterbacks, at least that first quarter, was they would have good coverage, but they wouldn't go find the ball. So mm-hmm. Grambling made some good catches, but Denver Harris really needs to step up. He's the guy that will help solve our secondary issues.
Denver Harris is to the defense what John Emery is to the offense. He, you know, he may not play much and he may not contribute, but, you know, when he gets his opportunity, he needs to shine and start making more of an impact to the offensive side. So that's why I said John Emery. So that's kind of a similar thought process on the defensive side.
Yeah, 2 5-star guys who have not really made that big impression yet for LSU, for sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You know, Steven went with the defensive line. John goes with the linebacker. I'm going to go into the secondary. I thought last year one of the problems State has is, you know, they had trouble with Malik Nabers. He had a big game in this one. DeCameron Richardson is going to have to get the task of covering him. One thing I've noticed thus far, and maybe it's just because it's two games, is, you know, State last year, they called a lot of defenses that ended up with safeties and man coverage. And there was a big touchdown that Malik Nabers scored. He's covered by a safety. I think State has sort of gotten away from that. With Matt Brock calling the defense, so that means DeCameron Richardson is going to have that responsibility a lot of locking up on the best receiver. He's going to have to show up for Mississippi State. Then we do one more. We call it the X factor. That's the player, not necessarily offensive or defensive player of the game, somebody you could just see making a big play in this game that makes a big difference. So, Marty, I can see you're struggling already. Who do you got for LSU?
Some guy who you wouldn't expect to make a big play. Is that what this is supposed to be about?
You might expect them to make a big play, but they're not necessarily going to have the best game, but they will make a big play.
And if it's Garrett Nussmeier, we're in trouble.
Yeah. Actually, I was thinking about him. You know, if Shane Daniels got hurt, he had to make a big play.
Yeah.
I think for me, probably the X factor would probably be Mason Taylor.
Okay.
Mainly because, again, like I say, Jaden Daniels, it's sort of his security blanket. And so Jaden Daniels needs to, you know, Mason Taylor needs to be a guy that Jaden Daniels can depend on to get to move the chains, to get the first down. He may not have many catches, but he needs to have those critical ones to keep drives going.
All right. John, for State, who's the next factor?
I got two in my head right now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say both of them.
All right.
Zadeon, because of all the drama last year in the offseason,
mm-hmm.
you know, being teased, you know, being courted by LSU. And so forth, you know, it could
tampering.
He's tampering. Exactly. That's how they roll. But they, you know, it's not going to affect him. Is he going to be hyped for the game and play well as we expect him to, or is it not? And the other one's Mike Wright.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is Barbet going to utilize Mike Wright? And can we put that pressure on LSU's defense in certain situations and packages that, in series, you know, I hate to say this. You remember back in the day when Cheryl coached, he'd always put the number two quarterback in, like the first series
third series or something. Yeah, yeah.
Third series and so forth. Why not? You know, and get Mike Wright into the flow of the game somewhat and have him have consecutive plays. Because against Southeast Louisiana, did he have?
He never had
two or three plays in a row.
Not until late in the game when they had pulled Rodgers. I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
I feel like when Wright comes in, everybody's looking at him. You got to leave him on the field for a few plays, people just don't automatically assume he's getting the football. Chris,
and maybe let him throw the ball.
Yeah.
And maybe let's see if he can do something.
Yeah. Chris, give me another Tiger.
Yeah, I think offensively we're still okay. I know we kind of sputtered a little bit in the second half against Florida State. So I'm going to go on the defensive side of the ball, and I'm hoping it's Mason Smith. Let's see him make some big plays and cause havoc in that Mississippi State backfield on the run game and the passing on the pass rush. And you know, it's time for him to step up. He's been out for a full year. He's another guy that's come to LSU with high expectations, and it's time to live up to that reputation. So I'm going to go with Mason Smith.
It's kind of interesting. Both teams' best defensive linemen didn't play in this game last year. Mason Smith was out for LSU. Jaden Crumity was out for Mississippi State. They'll both be on the field Saturday. Steven, who do you have?
John took mine with Mike Wright, but I'm going to go, I guess, with another one. And he has yet to make a play on special teams this year, but let's go with Tulu, taking one back to the house. And this will be, you know, just that could be something that happens. He might be the most electric player that we've had.
Long time.
A very long time. When the ball is in his hands, there's a very good opportunity. It's six.
I see what Marty did there too. I see what you did, Marty.
What did he do?
He changed his name to 42-3. Typical Marty prediction. I'm with you, Steven. That's why I'm going to go Zadeon Thomas. if you remember last year in this game, he had a couple of punt returns where he nearly broke them out, broke free, and scored a touchdown. Was able to, you know, LSU did a good job of being able to make some last ditch tackles on him. Tulu in this game also had a long kickoff return that was called back on a penalty. So special teams could be very big for Mississippi State in this one. So I'll go Xavier on your Tulu.
Hey, Brian, yeah. I got a question for you. What player do you most fear from LSU in this game?
Daniels. There's no question to me. Just what he was able to do last year running the football, that was the difference in the game. Once he got his legs underneath him and started making plays outside of the pocket, State just didn't have an answer for that. You know, and then even then, State had the lead, but it felt like LSU had the momentum. And then when State fumbled the punt, the game was just over at that point.
Yeah.
Once LSU
I guess I'm just asking you because I haven't watched State play this year. So I don't know what their weaknesses are and strengths are at all going into this game.
You come on this show unprepared? What's up with that? Come on.
Man, I tell you, I got my heart right. I was at a men's retreat this week. I didn't watch one college football game this weekend, which is crazy. But I was in a good place. So.
I went to a men's retreat. There better be a TV. That's all I'm retreating to do.
So that's where that picture came from. I'm just kidding.
Oh, gosh. No, the one
Steven, you said. Steven, I wasn't going to touch that. No. I wasn't going to touch it.
No. All right. Let's do predictions here. Our predictions this time are brought to you by our friends at Our Lady of the Lake Hospital. If you ever want to support the Tigers, please send your children to Our Lady of the Lake Hospital. They will take care of the kids and take care of the Tigers at Our Lady of the Lake in Baton Rouge.
LSU's number one NIL supporter. Our Lady of the
Lake. That's right. I don't even know what it's called. What is the LSU NIL collective called? Do you know? I know Marty's
is
a
it,
big donor.
Is it Bayou Traditions?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
I'm not sure.
You and Chris, I'm sure, are the top tier donors for the
You act like we contribute to that NIL fund.
You should be. It's the only way to win.
We pass on knowledge, not money.
All right. This is not a great slate in the SEC. Do we want to do this or do we just want to stick to State and LSU? I'll let y'all pick.
But let's pick some good games this weekend, not just SEC. Are there any?
Let me get the whole
top 25 matchups.
There are.
Who's Deion playing this weekend?
They have
Colorado State.
I'll take Colorado.
There are no games this weekend between ranked teams.
None. Wow.
I know that seems.
Well, there's Tennessee, Florida this weekend.
That's not ranked.
Florida's not right, but I'm saying that's a big game, you know. Right.
So let's just stay in the conference. We'll just keep it easy. Kansas State at Missouri. Kansas State, the defending Big 12 champions, they walloped Missouri a year ago. Marty, I think you'll probably predict the Wildcats here, correct?
Yeah, I think Missouri last week barely beat Middle Tennessee
State. They did. It was
23-19. I don't think there's any chance here.
All right, John?
I have no idea, man.
Kansas State. All right. Chris?
This is getting off to a very good start. I have no idea. Kansas State is going to be Missouri.
Kansas State is 15th in the country.
Kansas State's a solid team, and they might be the only team on the schedule for Texas that could beat them.
That's true.
Oklahoma, possibly, but I don't see Oklahoma beating Texas this year. But I do see Kansas State always gives Texas fits.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to be – Mizzou's weekend against them. So I'm going, even though they are playing at Mizzou.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still going to stick with Kansas State.
Steven?
I'll take Kansas State. Missouri has not been impressive this year for the two games that of the five minutes I've watched them.
Yeah. I will go with Kansas State as well. We'll stick to just the Power Five games here. South Carolina travels to the number one team in the country, the two-time defending national champions, the Georgia Bulldogs. This is a game that in years past, there have been some interesting upsets where South Carolina is able to win, but this year I just don't see it. John, I assume you'll go with the Bulldogs, the other Bulldogs.
Yes. What's the spread on this one? You know,
26.5.
26.5. Yep.
It might as well be 46. It's going to be terrible.
I'm interested to see South Carolina, considering State plays them next weekend. So we'll see how that goes.
Chris, I want Georgia to beat them into the ground, so their soul is taken.
Oof, that's just ridiculous.
We can take that, get that road SEC win the next weekend.
Sounds good. What do you say, Chris? Georgia's
second toughest regular season game, and they're a 26.5-point favorite.
That's true.
What does that say about Georgia's schedule?
I always have to defend Georgia. They were supposed to play Oklahoma this year.
They were, and I think it was stupid they didn't play it. I mean, yeah. I don't understand why they canceled that, but I'm gonna go with Georgia. I hope it's a close game because I love Spencer Rattler.
Do you? Okay.
I'm kind of kidding there.
Okay.
But he does. You just never know which Spencer Rattler you're going to get. Now, if you get the Spencer Rattler of Tennessee and Clemson's game, it could make it interesting. And Georgia last year this time of year, if you recall, they struggled against Missouri. So, you know, the problem when playing cupcakes is Georgia may not be ready for a tough game. You just never know how it's going to turn out. But I'm not dumb enough to pick against them.
Find out in the first week in December when they play a tough game, I guess. Steven, yep. Georgia?
Yeah, I'll take Georgia. But Georgia, to me, has been equally as unimpressive as Mississippi State so far this season.
They have not been great, yeah.
They struggled in both of their games. Again, in the second half, they poured it on. But in the first half, I think – I forgot what the score – I know in the first game, it was like 14 –
It was, I think, 20-7. I think it was 20-7, same as Mississippi State.
It was 14-7 with under 5 minutes left in the first half.
Yeah.
In that first game. In the second game, I think they were struggling as well. But, I mean, Georgia's, again, they're just more talented. I don't know if they'll cover, but I think they'll win.
Yeah. Marty, Georgia?
Yeah, I'll go to Georgia. I mean, South Carolina, I mean, they played the first half against North Carolina was pretty close. I think they were down by three. So I'm not clear. I don't know if the spread is that should be that high. I don't know if they're that bad. That's the only thing I would – but I can't see them beating Georgia, though.
38-10 covers. So, I mean, that's like a very reasonable score in this game. Marty already mentioned this. Used to be the game of the year every year in the SEC. Now it's not. But Tennessee travels down to Florida. We'll start with Chris. What do you think is going to happen down in the swamp?
I mean, Florida looks terrible.
They do.
I know it's one game against Utah, and they can turn it around, but I just don't see how they're going to win any SEC game but Vanderbilt, and even then that's in question probably. But so I'm going with Tennessee Vols big.
All right, Steven?
I'll take Tennessee as well. Florida, who played again Utah, like Chris said, that first week Utah struggled against Baylor with essentially a starting freshman Mississippi State transfer as QB, and they struggled mightily. And Florida couldn't take care of Utah, even on the road. They're just not a good team. And Billy Napier will probably be fired maybe after this year.
Marty?
I'm going to shock everyone. I'm going to go with the Gators in the swamp.
Ooh, big upset.
Yeah, I mean, here's what I don't like. Tennessee last week struggled with Austin Peay.
They did.
I mean, they were up 7 points at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
With Austin Peay, and I'm just not sold on Joe Milton. He's, he's got a good arm, but he's not very accurate. That's the problem. Yeah. And the question is, Florida played McNeese State, I think, last week, and they played reasonably well. McNeese State isn't very good, but still, I mean, it looked a lot better, at least in terms of how they were running their offense and stuff, rather as opposed to what they happened to them against Utah. All right. So I just think this could be a game where, you know, it's in the swamp. I'm not sure if it's a late game or not, but
it's 6 o'clock kickoff.
It's 6 o'clock. So it's a late game in the swamp. You know, they'll have their fans will be riled up. Like I said, I don't think Tennessee's as good. I think this could be the upset special of the week.
All right. John?
Yeah, I agree with Marty.
Ooh.
I agree with Marty. I'm leaning Florida. Am I confident in that? No. But I think playing in Florida, playing at that time of day, that's a nasty place to go play.
Mm-hmm.
Fans to kind of have an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I do think Billy Napier, I can't even believe I'm about to say this. He has something to prove, and this could be the game to help turn the direction of the program. You know, this could be one of them. If it doesn't, if they lose this or get skull dragged, and as I think Chris was saying, they could lose the, you know, who knows, they could lose the Vanderbilt. He won't make it to the end of the season.
No doubt. So. All right. Two more to go before we get to the big one here. Georgia Tech is at Ole Miss, 6:30 kickoff in Oxford. Ole Miss is a 20-point favorite in this one. Steven, I think Ole Miss is going to win, but that's a lot of points for a team that struggled with Tulane last week.
Yeah, I think they'll cover, but I do think they will not cover, but I think Ole Miss will win. I'm in agreement with you.
I'm with you on that.
Ole Miss was weak, I thought. Along the lines. And I hope they lose. Just that simple. But
we are a podcast based on honesty. Marty, what do you think?
I'll probably take Ole Miss at home. Georgia Tech's only lost, I think it was Louisville. They lost barely to them. But the problem is I just don't know how good Georgia Tech really is. You know, it's hard to tell. I forget they played last week, but they beat them pretty good. Ole Miss, I don't have a lot of confidence in Ole Miss anymore. I mean, Tulane didn't even have their starting quarterback.
Yeah.
And Tulane was down, seven with 2 minutes to go?
Yeah.
I know the score ended up 37-20 or something like that, but they were only down. Yeah.
They had the turnover there at the end where
– Yeah, that's right.
Pick six or whatever it was.
Yeah, but I mean, they were down with the ball, I think, down a touchdown, and they could have won the game, you know, with their backup quarterback. So, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Georgia Tech plays them well, but we'll see.
All right. John?
Who's Ole Miss playing?
Georgia Tech.
Them. That's who I'm picking to win.
that's the spirit I know. Your dad would be proud of him.
Yes. There we go. Chris, that's all I got to say.
Got the Rebels?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Tulane is not a bad team, boys. I mean, they beat USC last year, and I understand the quarterback's out, but I mean, you got to respect the team that had a season they had and beat USC. So I don't think you can judge Ole Miss just off barely beating Tulane. Georgia Tech has been god awful for years.
Yeah.
How can I go against a school where one of my brothers provided so much tuition money to? I mean, that's just a disservice to him. So I'm going to go with Ole Miss.
He's looking around like, who are we talking about?
He's practically a booster.
He is a booster. NIL contributor to Ole Miss, that's for sure.
I officially never penned a check that said the University of Mississippi. It was all ACH, electronic transfer.
That's painless. How they prefer it. Like,
yes, and that's how they got it.
They don't want to be able to trace anything. They don't want to leave a paper trail. So we got them in trouble with Freeze. All right.
Well, I just fell right into their trap.
Yeah. One more Power 5 game, and it's a Power 5 game this year now, with BYU going to Arkansas. The Hogs won in Fayetteville last year. BYU is off to sort of a weird start. They won their first game against, I forget who it was. It was only like 14-9.
It was Sam Houston.
Sam Houston, yeah. I don't know what's going on there. They beat up on an FCS team last week. But Arkansas hasn't been very impressive, and I don't know if Raheem Sanders is back this week. Marty, what do you got for us?
I think Arkansas is probably going to win. They're at home.
Yeah.
And I said BYU only beating Sam Houston by 2 touchdowns is not Sam Houston's not very good. It's almost like Grambling in a way. So
yeah.
Who did
Arkansas play last weekend? Did they barely win?
Kent State. They won 28-6, but I mean they struggled in that game.
They struggled. Okay. Yeah, I couldn't remember. I know it wasn't a very good team.
Yeah. John, taking the Hogs?
Yeah, I'll take the Hogs. I mean, I'll be a homer and be an SEC homer and shut Danny Cannell up a little bit.
Chris,
so tired.
Right, Razorbacks?
Yeah, they're playing at home, too. I don't think BYU can handle the heat.
Yeah.
We'll go with Arkansas.
All right. Steven?
Same. I'll take Arkansas to cover.
Same here.
Hey, all right. Brian, before we go to the big game.
Do you have a mascot head? You're sort of the Corso of this group.
Do I have a mascot?
Do you have the mascot? Are you going to put the tiger head on?
I do have a tiger head upstairs. You want me to go get it?
Oh, don't nobody can see it. No, God, no.
But the question I have for the group now that we've had some interesting losses in the SEC,
mm-hmm.
you picked LSU to win the West.
I did
before the season,
mm-hmm.
and I've got a little more hope now.
Yeah,
after this past weekend, what is everybody's thoughts on the SEC and the SEC West? You know, specifically,
it's both wide open and yet it isn't, right? LSU or Alabama will still win the West. Now, I don't think there's any question in my mind about that. But at the same time, everybody's gettable. Like if in a few weeks LSU when they travel to Ole Miss or they this game this weekend and they lose, it's not the most surprising thing in the world. If Alabama were to lose a game along the way here, another game, it's not the most surprising thing in the world. Nobody is dominant this year. And it kind of reminds me of the East, like when Florida won it under McElwain. It's just like somebody had to win the East, but there wasn't a team that was just head and shoulders better than everyone.
Any year Missouri won the East.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You know,
until Alabama makes a change at quarterback, I think once they do, I don't know what made them say, hey, Milroy's the guy. That's the scary thing, though.
What if he is the best of that group?
Gosh, I mean.
We're going to find out this weekend who their next quarterback is. They're going to play about all three of them.
The question is,
who would be your dark horse team to win the SEC West?
Mississippi State.
LSU or Alabama. Who do you think has most probable to win?
I would have said A&M before Saturday, but yeah. To Miami like that, I can't say that. Yeah. I can't say
it. Why not Mississippi State? Why not Mississippi State? It's Ole Miss.
I would probably put my money on Ole Miss.
How dare you?
Yeah. I know. I hate to say it, but
Mama and Papa all hear about this,
yeah,
so much trouble.
We're talking about putting money down.
You don't get it, your loyalties are.
I mean, if you asked before the season started, I would have said maybe Auburn, because Hugh Freeze is a really good football coach.
He's a really good coach, but
he has questionable recruiting tactics. But you know, if he doesn't have a quarterback,
that's what wins games.
Huh?
Getting players, that's what wins games. Questionable recruiting tactics. But so here, right now is not ready to win.
He doesn't have a good quarterback. That's the thing I've learned so far. That's the reason why he can't win it this year.
Yeah.
Here are my thoughts. I thought LSU's was in deep trouble after watching Florida State, and that's in our secondary. We've already talked about this.
Right.
But Florida State is damn good.
They're really good.
They are loaded. And, you know, I don't know how good Texas is. I have that game tape, Marty. I haven't even watched it yet with Alabama. But, you know, looking at how, you know, Texas A&M losing to Miami, I mean, Cristobal's a good coach. I think he's kind of proving himself now in his second year. But I had no idea A&M would give up 48. Nice. Against Miami. That's just crazy.
Brutal.
And so Jimbo is definitely on the hot seat. But I still, if I was to pick today, I'm hopeful LSU is the team.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to get our secondary figured out if we're going to win this, or it's going to be a long year.
I mean, Florida State's going to end the year undefeated in the college football playoff.
I think there's
no one left on their schedule. Clemson looks terrible.
Yeah,
so
they should go undefeated,
and they'll be in the playoff. Yeah. So that said, by the end of the year, that loss isn't going to look so bad. You know, LSU
look
was
bad now. In my
it
opinion.
Doesn't look bad. I mean, LSU was competitive.
Just the way they
three
lost.
Quarters.
Yeah,
it's the way they lost. They collapsed in the fourth quarter because of a bad turnover, and everything went crazy. Yeah. But they had the ball driving, and they just blew it.
Let's get into it then. Mississippi State, LSU, number 14 ranked LSU, 11 a.m. at Davis Wade Stadium. The last game in this series that has gone back, I think this is the, you have to go back to, I think to 52 is the last time State and LSU did not play each other. I don't know if Marty was at that game or not. This is a long standing SEC rival. I think this is State's second most played rivalry behind only Ole Miss is ahead of it. So we'll see how it goes in this final rendition. Of course, I say that they'll probably play each other again in 25. We'll see how it goes. Marty, are you going to say 42-3?
No, I'm not going to say 42-3.
All right, 45-6. Here we go.
Yeah, I know. I think my concern is LSU's pass defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm nervous that you know they it won't improve enough to keep you know to keep Mississippi State from scoring. So you know the biggest problem for LSU I think is their pass rush. I think the stat that I think I told Chris this was that I think through two games that includes Grambling. They have one sack and three or four quarterback hurries. And they all come from the defensive tackle position. So nothing from the edge, nothing from the linebackers. And so that's a big problem. And if they can't solve that problem, you know, teams are gonna be able to pass on LSU. So I think Mississippi State will score some points. I'm sort of thinking there might be a similar score as last year. I don't know if it'll play out the same way, but I'm thinking it'll be something like 35-17.
Okay. John, what do you got?
Well, of course, I disagree with Marty.
Of course.
You know, I think his logic is off and not well thought through. So, honestly, I agree for those, you know, with what he was saying, but in favor of Mississippi State. You know, State, Will Rogers, for even in the last game, was accurate. I mean, both of the first two games, he has been accurate. And just his attempts were down against Arizona. If the offensive line can give Will time and Will's pocket presence is a little bit better than it has been in the past, I think Mississippi State will beat LSU, and I believe the score will be like 31-24.
All right. Chris?
Well, when it comes to logic, I never think of John Peter Augustadelli. So you could throw that reasoning out.
Here's the thing.
Marty's right. We have to defend the pass. Harold Perkins going to the outside and having Mason Smith back will hopefully cure that to help relieve a weak secondary. Mm-hmm. We cannot have Mike Leach repeat of that first year in this game. And that is going through my head a little bit. Are we going to give up 300, 400 yards? The one thing I have heard is Will Rogers has not been real happy about how many pass attempts he's getting per game. And that may change Saturday, but that's going to be the key to the game. It's can Mississippi State throw on LSU? I'm hoping our pass rush will be there, and I'm going to go with LSU 41, Mississippi State 24.
All right.
Wrong.
Steven?
Be honest, I just haven't been impressed with the way State has played the first couple of weeks. You know, like John said, you hope that your improvement happens between the first and second week. And again, I thought we played well enough defensively. You know, how many turnovers did we cause last week?
Five.
You know, we had five. It was at four in the first half or three. I can't remember.
It was four in the first half.
It was four in the first half, and we're up 14-7.
Yeah.
You know, so offensively, it was a head scratcher of how we approached the game. I just didn't get what we were doing. So, you know, unless we make a complete turnaround, which I'm not 100% buying, I just don't see State winning. I want them to win so bad. But the biggest thing I think to stay ahead of schedule is to win next week in Columbia. Mm-hmm. And then if we can beat Alabama, you know, that's a plus, obviously. I don't expect it.
You think?
So just, yeah. So if we – I don't see us winning. So I think LSU probably 30-20. Is my guess, and then we have to win the following week in Columbia.
Brian,
let me ask you.
And that is logic. That is logic.
Steven, so yeah. You're saying, based on your comments, that you believe we have a better chance of beating Bama than we do LSU.
No, I'm just saying I'm saying as far as staying ahead of schedule with what I think the team can be this year, mm-hmm. you have to beat South Carolina.
I got you.
Yeah, I agree with that. I thought you made a comment.
Or stay
about
on schedule.
Possibly being Alabama.
Here's what I will say to you, Mississippi State guys. I think you're catching LSU at a good time.
I agree.
I thought that last year too, and you saw.
Well, you did. You got LSU at a great time last year, and you blew it.
Yeah,
you're not wrong. You let that game get away from you. Yeah. So, I mean, this game is perfectly placed for Mississippi State to upset LSU mm-hmm. and catch us while we're down, because I do think if LSU wins this game, they'll continue to get better.
Yeah,
I mean that's just
I don't know if I agree with that, because again, I think LSU is desperate. If LSU had beaten Florida State, this would have been a perfect trap game.
Yeah,
but LSU now has their back. Yeah,
they're definitely focused, but sometimes when you're desperate, you do things that make you desperate. So we'll see. Like I thought I was going to be the only State guy on here to pick LSU to win. I thought Steven's emotions would overcome his logic. But I definitely agree. First off, maybe my emotions play a part in it too, because I very rarely will pick Mississippi State to beat LSU in anything. We just lost Steven. What happened there? I'm sure he'll come back.
It's not really a loss.
Well, yeah, the average weight of the group went down though, big time. I think LSU is just a better football team, and I think they're going to have trouble State will have trouble containing Jaden Daniels from staying in the pocket. I think he'll make plays with his feet, and also he'll scramble and make plays down the field. I'm worried about LSU's receivers versus his Mississippi State secondary. So I have the Tigers winning this one as well. 31-17 is my final score for this one. All right. That's not all for the podcast. As you know, we will now adjourn into executive session with Stephen and I as we welcome Peter Burns of the SEC Network, Chris's best friend in the
world. We want Peter. We want Peter.
We go now.
Algorithm. Algorithm.
To Peter Burns in the People's segment. All right, before we get into the people segment, let's move on into that, and that's brought to you by our good friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. Nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill, guys. If you're tailgating this weekend, throw some beef on the grill, and if you're looking for recipes, they've got them at msbeef.org. Talk to your butchers and your local meat market, guys. They've got great specials. They've got great cuts, and it's all right there for you. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. This weekend, it's going to be a great time to go to Two Brothers. Great weather, so sitting outside on the patio, enjoying some food, enjoying a cold beverage, watching some college football, man, it's just going to be a good time. Get there early if you're looking for a seat after the game, and you won't be disappointed with the good times that you have. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service is what every business likes to promise you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they have for 48 years. Guys, they know how to take care of their customers, and 48 years of keeping their doors open, that's what proves it to you. If you need technology for your business, call Advantage Business Systems today. And if you need service, then you call the same number. You talk to the same people, and they're going to take care of you a lot of times on the same day. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems helps your business do business. The Rogues Collegiate Collection is where you need to get your next polo or pullover from. They have an incredible selection of Mississippi State polos, maroon and white, and they have got you taken care of with great name brands and the logos that you want. So if you haven't already, look online at therogue.com and check out their collegiate collection. Shop at The Rogue in Jackson. Don't live the three-stripe life. Shop at The Rogue. We go now to the People's segment with the SEC Network's Peter Burns. All right, welcoming in to the People's segment, as we do every year from the SEC Network, our good friend Peter Burns has joined us. Peter, I'm going to go ahead and get you on the record before we start this interview. No Mississippi State LSU next year. You will still come on this podcast at least once, though, right?
Absolutely not. No, this will be the last time. Thank God I will ever have to do that. I'm just kidding. No, this has got to be an annual thing. I mean, either we are pulling for each other or wishing the world against each other. Like that. How many years have we done this now? I mean, I feel like it's been at least
– this is at least seven, five, I think.
Six or seven.
Yeah, it's something like that.
It's fun, man. And that's one of the things that's – it's weird because, you know, we keep talking about like East and West and stuff like that. I keep having to pinch myself going, hey, remember, this is the last year we're going to be talking about an SEC West and an SEC East. And I think it kind of stinks, right? Like, cause I always thought like I enjoyed the entire kind of race within the race in the SEC when it came to divisions. So the fact that we don't have this damn good rivalry every single year is kind of, I don't know, bums me out a little bit. But yes, we will. Long-winded way of saying we're making this happen every year. So
Very good. I just wanted to be sure because you never know with the way the SEC works. You know, next thing I know, I look up and you're on some Texas A&M or Arkansas podcast, and I'm just out in the cold.
So. I would never cheat on you. Now, Chris, now maybe, but I'll
well, we're you know, looking I'll next year. So here's our deal. You know, we have all of the brothers on. And one of them, Marty, who's an LSU fan, he also got his doctorate from Texas.
Yeah.
So we're thinking about doing this for Texas next year, which would eliminate Chris, which we think is our best case scenario.
Well, I think that's a win for everybody when you think about it. I mean,
we heard that he was stalking you in Omaha, by the way.
I can't confirm nor deny that, but the restraining order and just the lawyers have advised me not to talk about.
Fair enough.
You know, who shall not be named. Yes. We'll put it that way.
Let's jump into football. I think these are two teams that don't have any clue what they are just yet. Do you agree or not?
Yeah. I mean, again, from a fan base, I almost feel like I know more about State than I do LSU right now. Right. I mean, I feel for State, like, I know defensively they're going to be really solid. I mean, Jet was incredible. The middle of that defense, I think, is really strong. And I think that they're trying to find, you know, like I said, Mississippi State's offense right now is like when you go into the shower at a hotel and you don't know how the knobs work really well, as far as like, hey, this is too hot, too cold or whatever. And you start just kind of going all over the map to try to figure it out just right. Like, that's what I feel like Barbet's offense has been right now. And like, I think they know that they can throw the ball with Will, but they're trying to develop and see how much they can trust a running game. And it's almost like they've put the faucet a little bit too far. And I think that's more balanced this week. For LSU, I have no effing idea. I really don't. Like, that's why it's so exciting to be an LSU fan every single year, is because you legitimately have no idea what to expect. Like, it's boring to be a Georgia fan right now. Okay, you know what to expect. It was boring for a decade to be an Alabama fan because you knew what to expect. For LSU, it's like Four Loko, Adderall, candy cigarettes. You have no idea what's about to happen, and it's a hell of a ride.
Peter, if you were offensive coordinator for Mississippi State, how would you use Mike Wright?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just, if for no other reason, I think you provide a little bit of a wiggle, and they did that. I know in game one, not so much in game two, but, you know, put him in an opportunity, especially some red zone situations. And I think it's a matter of just giving a different look. You go back and look at how LSU was scared. I mean, just unbelievably scared of Jordan Travis, and rightfully so, over at FSU. So what it did was it neutralized Harold Perkins, because they used him as a spy. So I almost think that if at some point in this game, if LSU really starts teeing off with Mekhi Wingo, with Mason Smith, and then with Perkins on Will, and they're struggling, I think honestly you gotta think about trying to put Wright in a little bit more package, and kind of you, and that was going to force LSU to use Perkins a little bit more as a spy. So I love Mike Wright, man. I remember when he was at Vanderbilt. I just loved the kid. I loved his athleticism. I remember he went for like 400 yards and 4 touchdowns against Hawaii. And so I think he has to play a role. But, I mean, Will Rogers is so damn good. It's just more of kind of a sprinkle here and there.
The other quarterback, Jaden Daniels, you know, his ability to run the football was a big reason LSU was able to beat Mississippi State a season ago. And yeah. Did what you saw from State Saturday night and their inability to contain Jaden Delora for Arizona, does that give you some pause about what they're going to be able to do against Jaden Daniels?
No, yes and no. Like, I'm a firm believer that it's good to be exposed somewhat early, right? Because, you know, at least now they understand, hey, this is what gave us fits, right? Like, how do we make sure that a mobile quarterback doesn't crush us? You know, and I think, you know, it's the same thing for LSU right now. I think that they saw how Will Rogers could probably take care of that secondary like FSU did in the second half of that game and beat them deep. And I'm glad that they got exposed in that game early so they can address it. So I actually, in a weird way, there's some times where I'm just like, I'd rather get exposed in game one or game two. And that way a defensive coordinator knows exactly where the weak points are. And he's like, all right, well, how are we going to make those changes and those adjustments? And I guarantee you, Zach, while he didn't like it, it's the greatest coachable win against Arizona, because you can look at the tape and say the tape looked like hell. But guess what? We found a way to grit out a victory, and now we know where our soft points are.
Yeah, I say that all the time, that coaches love a close win because it gives them something to gripe about, but they got the win.
I mean, like, Bama would love these wins where it would be like 45-13 back in the day, but then like the other team would score like 13 unanswered, and Saban would just be ballistic. Like, I mean, if we play like this, all right, we're not going to have a chance. All right, you know what I mean? Just go off. But they got bigger fish to fry. I mean, the West guys is wide open right now. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen the SEC West feel like I could make the case, including for State, where pretty much every single team, I say outside of Auburn, could actually be in Atlanta this year. And that's, frankly, awesome in my mind.
Peter, where do you think – what did Zach Arnett learn in his first 2 weeks of being a head coach? What's the biggest takeaway?
You know, it's a great question, because I think for Zach, it's more about the time efficiencies that come with the head coach and how you manage your weeks, as opposed to it is the X's and O's. Right. Like, and, you know, now that he is the dude there, I remember Gene Chizik telling me, he goes, it wasn't until midway, if not 75% of the way through my first season, Chizik talking about it, that he felt comfortable about a game day. And so I think there's still a lot with Zach where he's understanding, like, hey, all right, I got to the football facility too early or too late, or I want to have my meeting 30 minutes earlier in here. I want to have my plays in there too. So I think more of what he is learning right now as a head coach is actually the X's and O's of being a head coach, like the actual timing of it, as opposed to like the actual football play on the field, if that makes any sense.
When you look at this matchup, like I said, I feel like these are two teams that are trying to feel it out here in the first. It's like the opening rounds of a fight, which it really is.
Sure.
About early part of the college football season. Who has the better chance of landing a knockout blow early in this one?
Yeah, I still think it's LSU because, I think for LSU defensively, I think they have more studs, more guys that they can make a point. And so, I could see if there's a knockout blow, LSU gets the ball, they go down there and score, which quiets the crowd all of a sudden. And then if Mason Smith or Harold Perkins, forces Will into a bad throw, or all of a sudden they get a turnover, this thing could pop off. As far as for LSU, I think that, I saw them make some changes on the offensive line last week against Grambling, albeit against Grambling, but they were more aggressive running the ball, which is something they weren't able to do against a really good FSU front. And that's, State's got a good, decent-sized front as well, too, right? Like, I'm really curious to see how much LSU tries to attack in between the tackles versus outside the tackles, right? Because I think for LSU, I think that they could have some perimeter game running success. I don't know if they can do it if they're just going to try to run like power dive over and over and over again, like the old Les Miles toss sweep back in the day. So I don't know. I will tell you this, as an LSU fan, I'm sure as hell glad that that's an 11 a.m. kickoff and not a night kickoff in Davis-Wade. Like, I just don't like that place is so freaking loud. And if you give those Starkvillians a full day of having a cocktail or 11D, that place, I wouldn't trust LSU there at night.
Peter, you carry that SEC banner on social media. The SEC the first couple of weeks hasn't been great. What do you think? Where do you think the conference is right now? He's showing the hat on the video. Yeah.
He's like Rob Lowe with the NFL right hat. He's got the SEC hat working.
Brand. Yeah. it's another good question. Like, your questions are so much better than Brian's today. It's unbelievable. Yeah, so the conference itself, I think, is at an interesting point where it looks not necessarily bad, but it looks normal, if that makes any sense, right? It looks like every other conference has, whether the Pac-12 or the ACC or the Big Ten over the last decade. It's just that the SEC is not used to this. So, all of a sudden, it's kind of like a Von Drago gets punched in, all of a sudden kind of, taste the blood in his mouth a little bit. So, all is not lost, right? Bama could run the table. LSU could run the table. A&M's still going to be A&M. That's a struggle bus. But you still have Georgia's number one team in the country. And so, to me, I think the biggest concern, and I said this on social media a couple of days ago, I don't think it's a quarterback play. I think it has a little bit to do with the transfer portal and guys saying, I don't want to be second string, third string for an SEC school when I could start somewhere else that needs me, I think is a big thing. And I think the secondaries for the big teams have been atrocious. I go back and look at Texas just destroying Alabama's secondary, LSU getting destroyed by FSU in that second half, Miami just taking it to A&M's secondary. So I think it's the fact that the secondary play has been subpar that's really hurt this conference this year.
When you look at the SEC this year, for me, I picked LSU to go 11-1. I had them losing the first one and then running the table. And that could still happen, but I don't feel like it's going to happen. I feel like I think this may be another year where we have a two-loss West champion.
It wouldn't shock me, Ryan. And like for me, I look at it as like I actually feel better about LSU through 2 weeks of the season this year than I did LSU through two weeks of the season last year. Right. Like it's weird to think, but they looked so inept last year in the first game and it didn't look that much better in game two that I'm thinking, well, this is just kind of a lost year. It's going to be 7-5 or, maybe 8-4. And then they win the West. And so I still think they're a better team top to bottom. I just think that they ran into an opponent in FSU that's legit college football playoff contender.
One more and then we'll get you out of here. What is the thing Mississippi State has to do on Saturday to beat LSU?
Well, they can't turn the ball over at all. Like, I know that that's so damn cliche, and I even hate even saying it in my mouth. But, like, I feel like an early turnover right now is just crushing, because, you know, there's a lot of these kids too that have not had a chance to play a true road game, right? I mean, that's the one thing about the transfer portal. There's so many mercenaries now and young guys that are playing on these teams that want to play early that, man, it's not like, hey, this is a third or fourth year or second trip down to Davis Wade, so we know what to expect. There's guys that are going to be out there like, dude, this Cowbell thing is legit and it's real. And so if LSU can neutralize that early, then it's just kind of roster versus roster. I still like LSU in that aspect of it, but I think it's like one of these 27-24 type games with like an LSU like last second field goal to win it. I mean, like everything we saw out of Zona and State, I feel like it's that game, but flips in favor for LSU down there on Saturday.
We'll see what happens down here in Starkville. Just a couple of, we're just hours away from it now at this point.
Looking I know
to it. Peter, you're always so generous with your time, man. Thank you so much for coming on, and we'll see you again soon. Appreciate it.
Yeah, as long as I'm not along with Chris. See you, boys.
Thanks,
Peter. Don't have to worry about that. Peter Burns from the SEC Network. Cuz, thank you again for joining me here on the podcast. We'll do it next year, maybe?
In some capacity, maybe?
We'll see. For Stephen Augustinell, yeah, one last thing. Go.
If the fans ask for it, I'll do it.
Yeah, of course.
Peter said I was the more professional questioner today. So, I mean, I might be taking over. You know,
you have more weight behind your questions. That's all I'm doing.
That's right.
For Stephen Augustinelli, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to This Is Our Show here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.